Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. All right, we ask you, Father, to be with us today and bless this study so people understand that you do defend your people against the wicked. It always ends up the same way, ultimately. And thank you, Father, for doing that in the name of Jesus. Okay, we're going to continue with guarding the house from our enemies, number 2. And first revelation I want to share with you is called Factious Infiltrators Steal from the House of God. And this was Samuel Mary Church, 7:30-22. And I want to say, some of you may think these teachings are unimportant. They are important now for the bride and the man-child, and they'll be very important for the church, which is going to go through this same trial of faction in the tribulation. These will help them to come into alignment with God through these things. And Samuel said, we felt this is a warning dream and cast lots to confirm and got 3 heads for a yes. Okay. He said, I dreamed my wife Tiana, meaning joy, happiness, or follower of Christ, representing a disciple of Jesus. Tiana and I were staying at a studio apartment. A studio is a play on words, meaning a place to study the word. We were both in one-room apartment where we shared all things together in common. And this represents one body in Christ, as in Ephesians 2:21-22, which says, in whom each several building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. The apartment had modern and fancy fixtures throughout. Modern represents our current time we live in and something to be aware of or pay attention to now. We had 2 black laptops and many items of value inside the apartment. And this represents our spiritual treasures, he said, stored up in heaven. Amen. And our studio materials or study materials, right? I believe the black laptops represent the treasures of revelations of things hidden in darkness. In Isaiah 45:3, I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that it is I, the Lord, who call thee by thy name, even the God of Israel. Amen. Our friend Gerald was staying there with us, and Gerald means ruler with the spear. I believe he represents God. God's presence is, of course, with his people now that our Savior, Emmanuel, meaning God with us, has come and reconciled us to God our Father, right? Then suddenly this lady appeared, and I'm not sure who she was, but we didn't invite her. And as we will see, this woman represents the Judas body of Antichrist, sons of perdition, who are thieves like their father, the devil, and they come to steal and kill and destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief cometh, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. Gerald was concerned about her being there because he didn't trust her. Gerald said, I don't know her. Kind of like Jesus spoke the same words against some people who claim to be religious, right? It felt as if he was trying to warn us. Well, God warns us through His Spirit about people and situations. Let me say that there's never been anybody that fell into the faction that we didn't get a warning from God that they were going to do it. Mm-hmm. His Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and discernment, but as we will see, there's always big trouble when we ignore the warnings and sear our conscience through self-will or evil reasonings that are against the commands in His Word. His commands are for our safety. We went out, came back from grocery shopping, and our hands were full carrying the groceries. I believe probably hands being full of groceries represents distractions that feed our flesh. When this is occurring, our discernment is diminished so that we are blind to the spiritual dangers right in front of us sometimes. And he went on to say, when we got to the door to go inside, the lady was there and she offered to open the door for us. She seemed genuine and sincere, and it seemed like she just wanted to help us. Well, we know 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And also Romans 16:17-18 says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Mm-hmm. So then I handed her our keychain that had a bunch of different keys on it along with the door key. The keys could represent the keys to the kingdom, he says, I believe so. She opened the door and let us in and gave us back the keys. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus has given us the keys to bind and loose, and if we are unwise with this authority, we can loose the enemy and open doors for him to steal from us. All right. Later on, we went out again and came back. And when we went to open the door, we realized that the key to the front door wasn't on the keychain. And when we checked the front door, it was unblocked. It was unlocked, excuse me. And the key was left in the door. So we went inside and all of our items were gone. I felt upset, and I realized that the lady must have taken the key off the keychain that time that I let her open the door for us. I then awoke up, and this reminds me of Hezekiah when he showed all of his treasures to the Babylonian embassage, and they later came and plundered the temple and all Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. He said, I felt the Lord was trying to reveal an imposter, maybe trying to gain access or has snuck in to steal, kill, and destroy inside the body of Christ and to be on guard against it. Amen. We get these warnings so we can pray. And God often answers because we pray ahead of time. Okay, and this is, don't climb the mountain in your own strength. And this is from Kit Giora, 7:22-22. In this dream, I saw two men who had barricaded themselves in a shopping center, probably representing Babylon, right? Their main goal was to kill everyone in sight. And, of course, this is similar to Samuel's dream above, the enemy in the Judas, Antichrist, factious body as merchants of Babylon are seeking to prey upon and steal from and kill those who are feeding the desires of their flesh. And these two men were prepared for war, and they were armed to the hilt. Many were slain by these two men. So many are taken out because they refuse to go any further in the kingdom by continuing to carry their cross and sacrifice their flesh on the altar of obedience to the word of God, which warns us of these people. And as we saw, it just did in this revelation, right? As they were taking people out, a call went out to the cops who came and started to attack these two men. I could hear the two men saying, "These cops are different here," meaning they are well prepared, he said. Well, that's what we need to be, right? God's ministers are supposed to enforce the word of God, which exposes these people. The faction uses slander and criticism to kill and deceive those who disobey God's commands to separate from them. Titus 3:10, a factious man after first and second admonition refuse. We are commanded. Then the scene changed, and the two men were now in a house on a countryside hill which had green, healthy grass. And inside this house, it was dark, and these two men were hiding in the darkness, waiting to ambush those that were climbing the hill. And that's exactly what they do. They ambush. The enemy is always targeting those who are seeking to conquer their flesh and climb the hill to Mount Zion. James 3:16 says, "For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed." And that is proven. And also Psalm 11:2 says, "For lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart." Mm-hmm. So many people took up arms and went up the hill hunting for these two. I believe this represents our prayers and spiritual warfare that will succeed in taking these enemies and exposing them. And we must not fight in the flesh with anger or retaliation or unforgiveness, for then we too will fall, as we will see. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." One of the men was captured and was taken down, but the other was still hiding out in the corner in the darkness, waiting to pounce on people, but was later exposed. And that's the way they are. They'll hide among you, or sometimes feign repentance to come back among you, you know. But you have to ask them to confess their sins. And this is a secure here, because they can't do it. So then you know they haven't repented. Many mighty men fell at the hands of these two, Samuel said. These Judases have betrayed many and spiritually destroyed and killed many who were weakened through disobedience to the word and lazy to conquer their flesh and climb the hill to Mount Zion. And also, the devil has authority to come against us to our own destruction if we are trying to conquer or fight in our own strength. Okay, so then we got this revelation from Vanessa Weeks. She said, "Remember what you heard from the beginning." Amen. Vanessa Weeks, 4:13-22. "I dreamed that it was night, and I was climbing a grassy hill." This hill represents climbing Mount Zion. This represents, she says, conquering the flesh by putting it under our feet. Amen. And she gives 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth. Right? But it's only the word of the Lord that lasts forever, right? Amen. And we are remembering our promise that in Romans 6:11, it says, even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin. In other words, consider it done because of what Jesus did, right? But alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. This is the key, to let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lusts thereof. In other words, believe that Jesus made reconciliation and took your sins to that cross and gave us his life. And this faith makes it possible to die to self and to conquer our flesh as we climb the hill to Mount Zion, which is the bride. It was very dark, but there was a bright light shining on the area where I was climbing. Psalm 18:28 says, for thou wilt light my lamp. The Lord my God will lighten my darkness. And also Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yes, amen. And Jesus and his word are what lights our way of obedience. Amen. I knew I had to climb to the top of this hill. It was difficult, and I was climbing with my hands and feet. And I believe this represents our works and our walk of faith. As disciples of Christ, we may walk in his steps and have his works to climb to the top of Mount Zion. And Vanessa said, I heard my husband, Barry, representing the Lord, our heavenly husband, who was standing by me, but I did not see him. And she said, this symbolizes Jesus always being with us, even when we don't see him. Amen. And Hebrews 13:5 says, for himself hath said, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. Right? Amen. She said, Barry was telling me to remember to do the things he had told me to do, or to do the things I said I would do. I think these were one and the same. And she gives 1 John 2:24. For as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. Yes, if we pay attention to the word of God which was given unto us, we will not fail. We will not be deceived by these killers either. Psalm 15:1-5. The Lord, Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. We need to be careful what we think in our hearts and what comes out of our mouth. Being truly honest with ourselves on everything the Spirit shows us or speaks to us about, not hardening our hearts and searing our conscience. In verse 3, he that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. In other words, they keep their word even if it hurts them to do so. They don't utter rash vows or promises and then reason away why it's okay not to fulfill them if they truly have the means or the time. He that putteth not out his money to interest, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Amen. Also, She said, I heard David, representing the David Manchild Reformers, saying something to me to the effect, to the same effect. I did not see him either. Philippians 2 and 12, she gives. So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And also, she gives Philippians 2 and 13. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's what salvation's all about, right? And when I got about halfway up the hill, I got very weary and had to rest for a while. And she gives Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And she said, I remember thinking of Eve at this point in the dream, probably representing the overcoming bride, and how she has had her trials and was overcoming, and now it was my turn. And then I woke up. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen to that. So, Marie Kelton had this, a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. 7:27:22. In a dream, it was nighttime, and zombies were attacking people. These zombies, who are the walking dead, represent those who are possessed with the stupid demons of faction, because they have no conscience whatsoever and don't forgive anybody, so they're not forgiven, as Jesus said. I got in a car with a couple of other people, and we drove to a refuge where the Lord was. That reminds me of Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Then the scene changed, and this time I was observing what was happening. The zombies were still attacking people, but then a group of people started using the Word of God. And when they used the Word of God, a big square-shaped stone came up from under the ground with ancient symbols on it. I believe this stone is the stone which the builders rejected, which is Christ, who is the ancient word, right? The builders became apostate and lost the power of the word, but we must stand on the power of the word to conquer our enemies. And Luke 1:68 says, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Verse 71. Salvation from our enemies. There it is. And from the hand of all that hate us. And it's so. And it has been done. And 73. The oath which he sware unto Abraham our father to grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies should serve him without fear. So there you have it. Promises from redemption and salvation to deliver us from our enemies. It is a part of it. She said, as the zombies were trying to attack people, they would fall on this square-shaped stone that had the ancient symbols on it and couldn't move from it. Yeah. Well, these zombies are ministers of the curse of sin and death, which Jesus bore for us. Galatians 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. And the Lord actually said unto Abraham, I will curse them that curse thee. Okay, so there is still a curse out there on the wicked who curse God's people. 1 Peter 2:4-8 says, Unto whom coming a living stone rejected indeed of men, but with God elect and precious. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Because it's contained in scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. For you, therefore, that believe is the preciousness, but for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Yes, God reprobates people, and he appoints this judgment over them. Okay, and Marie got this revelation July the 30th, 2022. We called it Judgment on the Faction. In the beginning of the dream, there was this black teacher teaching. I believe this black teacher represents the leadership of the faction who have usurped the true leadership and drawn many of the spiritually weak away unto themselves. I saw this black girl in a bright yellow outfit laying down on a couch. She said the black girl represents their followers who are walking in darkness. True. The couch probably represents a false sense of rest because of their doctrine that it's all under the blood. And also a couch represents people with psychiatric problems. And she went on to say, when I walked up to her, I thought of the spirit of fear because she was wearing all yellow. Well, the factious followers live in a lot of fear and torments because they're under a curse of separation from the body through their willful disobedience to the word. She said, but when I picked up a card that was next to her, it said depression in bright yellow, like the clothes she was wearing. The card was describing symptoms of depression. Well, the factious body is in fear and depression because there is no life of Christ living in the darkness of witchcraft, which is, of course, the Bible says, rebellion. Right? The dream changed, and I was now in Debbie Finsky's house looking out the door. And there were these big, tall evergreens. Well, also, if you do look out of Debbie's front door, you see a fruit tree out there. Yeah. But she said there was these big, tall evergreens representing, I believe, the mature disciples in their neighborhood who have eternal life. Evergreen, right? And in front of the evergreens were huge tigers. Representing the factious, predatory leaders seeking to destroy disciples. She said they were eating the head of another tiger that was already dead. This represents Galatians 5:15 and 16. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. They're devouring one another is reaping what they have sown. This is what God gives to them. It is their ultimate end. I saw a green street sign next to the evergreen tall trees. I then had a vision in the dream of a map, and this street sign was with other street signs in a group. And there was a weather report of a storm or flood that was coming towards the street signs. Well, the street signs represent you know, in this unison, in this unity, where the big, tall, evergreen people of eternal life live. And the storm or flood is coming to remove the tigers and their followers who walk in darkness. Amen. Then it went back to the first part of the dream, and I saw a light, black-skinned girl with straight red hair. And she said she thought that represented Edom, and I do agree. Red hair represents Edom, and the black skin represents walking in darkness, and these are the victims of the factious, and this is so that the body is cleansed of these people. And she had on a highlighter yellow jacket and blue jeans and was near where the tigers were. The tigers then came over to her and started grabbing her legs, pulling her downward. Well, the factious leaders always pull down their victims so that they may not walk on the high way of holiness. I knew they were going to eat her. Well, the factious leaders will devour their Edomite followers with their teachings, their black teachings, who are walking in darkness. And as we will see, this is the war between Abimelech and his factious people of Shechem, when they made war to kill each other off because God had judged them for killing the brothers of the man-child. I was trying to call 911 on a cell phone to get help to the girl before she got killed, but my sister, Louise, meaning renowned warrior, was fighting me and trying to take the phone from me, because that's not the way to go. I never got a chance to call 911. Let me say that there is no legal help for the Edomite faction except for the elect who come out from among them. They have to see the true nature of their predatory factious leaders who have destroyed their lives before they can repent. And after that, I looked outside and the tigers were gone, but the girl was dead. And the only part of her body left was from the waist up. Well, meaning her walk was devoured by them. And that's what they do to people. They don't walk with the Lord after they have imparted their demons to them. She still had the highlighter yellow jacket on. So the faction were taken away by the storm flood, like Abimelech and the men of Shechem were taken away for murdering the sons of Gideon. All but one, the man-child. Two white men with shovels came to the body to bury her. One man told the other man that the girl told him that she was afraid to die. Yes, they should be afraid to die, because they are dead already. But the man said he realized it wasn't her talking to him, but a spirit in her. Well, spirits of fear and depression are on the faction, for they gave up eternal life by hating their brethren. 1 John 3:15 says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." Okay, so Winnie Asagueda got this on 7/29/22, which we called Watching the Leftist Faction. I found David sitting in a temple on a bench on the right. Instead of the bench facing forward, though, it was facing the other side where the windows were. So David was watching the windows, which were on the left. In a dream many years ago, after I had overcome the flesh and received the anointing, I went into the temple, and I saw Jesus on his throne, and I sat down next to him, which is what the overcomers do, according to Revelation. I then saw people were trying to come into this place of authority through a window on the left. The factions seek authority over God's people from the left, but they come up another way besides the door, who is Jesus. And Jesus said to me, as he sat on his throne, "Don't worry about them. They can't come in here." That's what he said, meaning they cannot have God's authority. And their authority is like Judas's authority to crucify the body of Christ. They have a purpose, but they can end up killing themselves. Right? I could hear the people worshiping and praising the Lord. David was joining in worship, but it was also as if he was watching outside those windows for something. Well, I already know what that is. David is watching for the factious wolves, Judases, thieves, who lust to have authority over God's people because of their little man syndrome, and the demons who rule them. We watch and we listen to them through dreams, visions, words given to us, and other physical means which they don't know about. They come from the left. Judas and Absalom were traitors who hung themselves by their own works. And we know, too, that the Lord, at this time, as a type of the man-child, was caught up to the throne over God's people and over the wicked factions. As you know, when David came to the throne, he took down the Edomites, their faction against Israel. Concerning them hanging themselves by their own works, I just received by faith at random for the factious leader for the second time. I had a mark in my Bible right there the first time, and this was the second time I received the same thing. And this means it's confirmed. And I believe this is also for the past factious leaders who have joined him. 1 Kings 16, 3 through 4, and 11 through 13 is what the Lord gave me there. 1 Kings 16, 3, "Behold, I will utterly sweep away Baasha and his house. I will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat." So Baasha walked in the sins of Jeroboam in factioning against the house of David, and reaped what he sowed when he was factioned against by his own people and destroyed. Verse 4, "Him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth of him his in the field shall the birds of heaven eat." And verse 11, "He smote all the house of Baasha. He left him not a single man-child, neither of his kinfolks nor of his friends." Well, they do kill all of their kinfolks and friends with their spirits. And they've seen it happen to others, yet they do it themselves. "So thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet, for all of the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, which they sinned, and wherewith they made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger with their vanities." And that's what the Lord gave me. And I also received by faith at random for him, or them, talking about the other factious leaders who joined him, Isaiah 24:16-18. "From the uttermost part of the earth have I heard songs, glory to the righteous. But I said, I pine away, I pine away, woe is me. And my finger was on, the treacherous have dealt treacherously." That's where my finger was on. "Yea, the treacherous have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear, because they have that fear, shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth tremble. Okay, I'm going to share something with you about man-child judges the faction. Abimelech, the son of Gideon, began the faction, and all the factious leaders were spiritual sons of mine who became traitors. And Judges 9 and 1, and Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, that's Gideon, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren, and spake with them, and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you that all the sons of Jerubbaal, who are 70 persons, rule over you, or that one rule over you. So he started this faction, Abimelech did, and he put this seed of the curse in the factious people of Shechem. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem, and all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, He is our brother. So they all factioned against Gideon and his sons. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver, just as the chief priests hired Judas to betray Jesus, out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light fellows who followed him, just as they brought in worthless people to give false testimonies against Jesus, who is a type of the man-child body of our day, as history repeats. And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah, and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. Okay, they missed the one. In Jesus' day, he was the only man-child left after Herod, the factious Edomite, slayed all of his brethren. Another parallel here. And all of the men of Shechem assembled themselves together in all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king. Well, just as the factious people have made their traitors king over them, just as Jotham, the man-child, spoke. Now, therefore, if you have dealt truly and uprightly in that you have made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his father and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands. This is the speech of Jotham against the faction. For my father fought for you and adventured his life and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. Well, as a type of the David man-child, I fought for all these people and they became traitors. And you are risen up against my father's house this day and have slain his sons, 70 persons upon one stone, and have made Abimelech the son of his maid servant. She wasn't a full wife, she was a concubine. The son of his maid servant, the leaders of the faction, as sons of the handmaid, are not of the free woman, according to Paul in Galatians. Will not inherit with the son of the free woman, Paul said. So they made this son of a handmaid king over the men of Shechem because he is your brother. Then Jotham the man-child said, "If you then have dealt truly and uprightly with Jerubbaal, with his house this day, then rejoice ye within Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not," in other words, if you've been a traitor, "let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out of the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech." And that's a curse that he spoke in the name of the Lord. It was very prophetic. It wasn't from him. It was from the Lord. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer. When he went to Beer, yeah, I don't blame him. And dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. And God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. There you go. This is who did it. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, that their blood might be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, who slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to slay his brethren. And the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him on the tops of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. So God sent evil spirits between the faction and caused them to fight one another. And verse 28. And another factious traitor is named. Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech? Who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal?" Yeah. And verse 30 says, in other words, he started a faction here against the faction. And when another factious traitor named Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled, and he sent messengers unto Abimelech craftily, saying, "Behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren are come to Shechem, and behold, they constrain the whole factious city to take part against thee." Yeah. In verse 34, "And Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him, by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in 4 companies. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance of the gate of the city, and Abimelech rose up and the people that were with him from the ambushment." They love ambushes. "And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech, and Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and there fell many wounded." And that was, of course, the men of Shechem, wounded, "even unto the entrance of the gate. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that were therein, and he beat down the city and sowed it with salt. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard thereof, they entered into the stronghold of the house of El-Berith." Well, all the factious people have false demon gods, called faction, witchcraft, slander, theft, and fornication, and a false Jesus too. Mm-hmm. "And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together, and Abimelech got him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees and took it up and laid it on his shoulder. And he said unto the people that were with him, 'What you have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done.' And all the people likewise cut down every man his bow and followed Abimelech and put them to the stronghold and set the stronghold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died." There's the tower, of course, was supposed to be a place of safety, but not for factious people. "And Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. The curse through the man-child came to pass. Through the man-child, not from the man-child, came to pass. Let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem. Right? There it is. That was his curse. Then went Abimelech to Tabez. Now, Tabez means whiteness, and it represents a righteous city. And encamped against Tabez. He thought, well, that was pretty easy. Let's try it again with these people. and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, representing the bride, the tower of the flock. And thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city, and shut themselves in, and gat them up to the roof of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower, and fought against it, and drew near unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire, like he had just done with Shechem, right? And a certain woman cast an upper millstone upon Abimelech's head, and brake his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor-bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword and kill me, that men not say of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. Thus God requited the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the wickedness of the men of Shechem did God requite upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. So let me say, this history will repeat in a spiritual way in our time, and really already has. We've seen it several times. Our missionaries in the Middle East, which we don't name in front of the faction, because they want to kill them too, were attacked by 3 religious cults, all of which believe that they are the children of God, and were angry that the Christians were gaining so many converts from among them. So they killed some of our missionaries. These men only shared our books with hungry souls, which are full of the Word of God, and did not resist them. And they laughed that these people did not resist them. They cried out to God, who sent spirits in between these cults, who just went on a killing spree. I'm talking about just recently. Killing spree against each other for weeks. And when the people around them saw what happened, many came to the Lord, including from among these cults. Now, this scenario has happened 4 times with one or more of these cults against our brethren. And every time it ended up this way. One of these cults' cardinals had done 2 black masses to destroy me, which obviously failed, because of my Lord and Savior Jesus. In 2 Chronicles 20, 3 religious cults came against the bride Jerusalem. Then the Lord, quote, set liars in wait, this is demons, against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and they all killed each other off. And God gave us this text, among others, concerning what he will do to the faction cult. All the nations came against the bride Jerusalem. In Zechariah 14:3, it says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. In verse 13, and it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. So God's got a habit of doing this. God fought for Gideon, who was a type of the man-child, quote, in the day of battle. the same way three religious cults, Judges 7 and 12, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley for like locusts for multitude. Verse 22, and they blew the 300 trumpets, pretty harmless looking. However, the trumpets turn breath into audible commands, right? And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow and against all the host. Oh, my. Michael had a dream that those who were left of the faction after this made peace with us. Well, all right. May the Lord richly bless you, and may you be saved from these cultic entities. And Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for saving your people from these people. And in the name of Jesus, we praise and give thanks unto you for the victory. Amen. God bless you. Good night.